We're here today with Charlie Ornstein, one of ProPublica's healthcare investigative reporters, and certainly a person who of late has been covering an issue of enormous, enormous interest to readers, viewers, and listeners. Welcome, Charlie.
Thanks, Steve.
Since last we spoke, things have been moving fast. One of the things that's come very much into the fore of late was a statement President Obama made repeatedly during the campaign for this program and during his own presidential campaign, which was, if you like your insurance, you'll get to keep it. Is that true?
It's not true, right? So I think it's pretty straightforward that what the president said is not happening in reality. And whether that's a function of the law gone bad or insurance companies sort of taking advantage of the situation and canceling people's coverage, you know, you can argue that for a while. But what is definitely true is hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Americans are now getting letters in the mailbox telling them that their plan is being canceled as of January 1st or a few months after that, and they're going to have to find new health plans.
Now, just to sort of back up a little bit, why are these insurers canceling these people? What's actually going on here?
So in the technical language, if folks had a plan that existed before March of 2010, which is when the Affordable Care Act was put into place, the law says that they could continue to be in that plan, even if the plan did not have the minimum benefits that were specified in the Affordable Care Act. But the plans could not substantially alter the benefit design, meaning that they couldn't jack around with the rates and the copays and the deductibles. And they also, it assumed that the plans would continue to offer that coverage. So the plans, I think, decided, look, this is really complicated. We can't enroll new people into those plans. We can't change the benefit structure. We know that people are going to be dropping out of those. It's far easier for us to just cancel those plans and create plans that conform with the requirements of the Affordable Care Act that provide 10 minimum benefits, prescription drug coverage, hospitalization, maternity services. You know, there's 10 of them. And to ensure that all of them meet those requirements.
Now, why would theoretically, let's say, a person want to keep the old, somewhat less well-covered plan? What's the motivation for that?
Say you're 27 years old. You feel healthy. There's nothing that's really bothering you. You may go to the doctor once a year. You're really not concerned about other things that could happen to you. You're not concerned about going to the hospital. You're not concerned about getting cancer. You're not concerned of being in a nursing home or things like that. And so you want a bare-bones plan. You want something that will cover 4 visits to the doctor a year, maybe a little bit of your hospitalization. You're going to pay a lot less for that. And you have something. But I think that the vision of the Affordable Care Act is that's not really good enough. And everybody should have a minimum set of benefits, which were sort of specified.
Isn't this kind of a nanny state? I mean, why is the government telling me how much of a risk to take here? I mean, why can't I roll the dice if I'm 27 and healthy?
Well, to some extent, if you look at the healthcare system, we do help those who are sick. And if we sort of say, let's put the burden on people who are sick to pay the full cost of their coverage, the system collapses under its own weight, right? We don't ask elderly people to pay the full cost of Medicare. We as a society help underwrite that. We don't ask poor people who are disabled to pay the full cost of their health insurance. That's why we have Medicaid. And so the idea is that up until this point, the individual insurance market has been sort of crippled by insurers being able to deny people based on pre-existing conditions, insurers being able to really set benefits that once you're in it, and if you do get sick, you realize it doesn't provide you with much of anything. So I think this is an issue of fairness. It's an issue of a little bit of redistributing the risk in healthcare and evening it out a bit. But in truth, there are winners and losers. And I think the way that the plan was framed publicly in the debate running up to it and afterward is that everybody's a winner, but everybody is not a winner.
So what is going to happen as it becomes clear, and it will, that some people are going to pay more, that some people are not going to be able to have that bare bones plan that they liked before? Does that cause a kind of serious political backlash that begins to undo this thing in a way that so far we haven't seen?
Well, you're seeing the backlash, and I would think that the people who are concerned about this and are vocal have a voice now, and that you're more likely to hear those people's voices than the voices of people who are newly getting coverage under the act. But I do think it's important, and this is something that the media plays a critical role in, and that's, don't just take somebody's word that they're going to be worse off under the Affordable Care Act. I've seen a number of very good fact checks, including one by Michael Hiltzik at the Los Angeles Times, that looked at interviews of people who said they would be worse off under the act, and in fact, they would not. I think the New York Times had a story that others looked at and said the reporter should have actually checked for themselves to see if the people involved were worse off, and at least in one of the cases, he wouldn't have been.
Well, let's go back to our subject of last week, which continues to boil here, which is the accursed computer system. At our last episode, they were talking about a mid-November rollout of something that actually worked. It continues to not work. It continues to be the butt of late-night jokes. Give us an update.
Well, they said the end of November for it to be fixed. And just as a signal of just how wacky things are, when Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius was testifying before the House, the website was down. And so they had projected on a screen in the committee room the picture of the error message you get on the website. So that's pretty embarrassing, right? It is still not fixed. The latest word from the administration is that they're not going to sort of redo and relaunch this on November 30th, that they're going to be making fixes as you go along. But I still maintain that the front end of the site can work well, and it's getting faster and stuff. But the ultimate problem, and what still needs to be fixed, and is even a higher priority than fixing the front end, is fixing the back end. The secretary conceded that they still do not have the right information going from the government to the insurance companies, which is preventing people from getting enrolled. So you may think you're enrolling because the front end works, but if you're not actually enrolling with the insurer, that is a fatal flaw. And until they fix that, this is not going to be ready to roll on January 1st.
Let's talk about that. So on January 1st, what's supposed to happen, and what happens if this thing really hasn't been fixed by then?
What's supposed to happen is that's when coverage begins if you've signed up for a plan before December 15th. So people who are going to healthcare.gov or going to their state insurance marketplaces or who are calling a 1-800 number are saying, I want to enroll in this plan. The earliest coverage can begin is January 1st. You have to enroll by December 15th. But if it turns out that this enrollment information is not accurately being sent to the insurance companies, then come January 1st, you may come to realize you don't have coverage. If that happens, there's going to have to be serious delays in a whole variety of components of this. It's too early to say that's going to happen. I think the administration realizes this is their number one priority. They're committed to fixing it. But this is a complicated IT system. This is a complicated act. There's a lot of, you know, interconnected parts. And I think even really smart people I've talked to say it's unclear if it actually will.
Is it possible that some of these very people who are now being canceled as of this year, would wake up on January 1st, New Year's Day, 2014, and simply not have any insurance?
Sure, it's possible. I think the goal here is that the people who are getting letters informing them of cancellations, first of all, not all of them are canceling them as of January 1st. Some are canceling them as of March or April. They're just getting the letters now. They're being given warning. They're being told, look, you can sign up for a new policy through us. You don't have to go through the exchange. If you don't need a government subsidy, you can just call the insurance company and sign up for a different plan. If you do need a government subsidy, you have to go through one of these exchanges. And people are getting, you know, notices. Will they act on them? Let's hope that they do. Will the website work for them when they go to sign up? Let's hope that it does. If it doesn't, it's not just going to be those people who are suffering come January 1st, but a lot of others as well.
Wow. Sounds like the comment, which was made initially before anything could or would be a train wreck, as Republicans have said, is not entirely without some possibility here.
Well, I think that initially people said that the very first month of healthcare.gov between October, the month of October was the critical month for this. But I think I'm revising this, and now we're a month in, and I think the month of November is much more important than the month of October, because if they don't fix it in the month of November, the repercussions will affect the historic legislation, and the month of October will look sort of, you know, very minor by comparison.
Well, Charlie, I know readers of ProPublica.org and our partners are very, very grateful that you're continuing to follow this so closely. I feel confident that we will be back right here in the podcast studio discussing this very soon again.
I look forward to it.